podium will stay straight here. Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar portion of Scripture. And also Philippians chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and Philippians chapter 2. I'm only going to read one verse in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 is what I'll read. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen. Praise God. And then Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Verses 5 through 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Praise the Lord. I want to focus on verse number 7 where it says, he made himself of no reputation. Praise the Lord. With God's help tonight, I just want to talk to you about when the king left his glory. When the king left his glory. Pray with me if you will. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord, for Christmas. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Thank you, Lord, for all that this stands for, the season of giving and thankfulness that is expressed in a variety of ways. But, Lord, most of all, thank you that you made yourself no reputation, put yourself in a man's body, came into this place that we ruined, that it was a perfect creation. But, God, you did it because you loved us. For God so loved the world. Thank you, Jesus. You left your glory for a time so you could save us. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. When the king left his glory. I want to preface this by stating that even while Jesus was on earth and he wasn't in heaven, while he was on this planet and was fully man and fully God at the same time, even though he wasn't worshipped and praised and he didn't experience the fullness of his glory that he deserved, it didn't change who he was, okay? He was still Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the everlasting God. Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've been blessed all of my life to never have had a Christmas when I didn't get at least one present to open. In all honesty, probably every Christmas I've experienced, I've had at least 5, 10 gifts to open, at least that many. And I've received an array of fun items and that I eventually put in the garage sale. You ever done that before? Something you got last Christmas, you probably don't even know where it is and don't really care about it, you know. I've gotten those kind of gifts. I've gotten some gifts that I've used for a while and thrown in the trash. Couldn't sell on eBay or anything, so they made it to the Salvation Army pile or to the dumpster. One of those two things. But I still have a few things that I received at Christmas time. I have a bike in my basement that I got when I was 13 years old. And actually, I still use it whenever I ride, which hasn't been for a few months. But I need to get back on that, I think. That would be good, wouldn't it? Amen. It's still there in my basement. I have some clothing that I've received. And when I was younger and in most recent times since I've been married, most of my gifts that my wife has given me, I still have. So she always does great at Christmas time. But not all of us in this room and not everybody that I know has been that fortunate and blessed. I understand that members of my family have mentioned in their past when they had Christmases when they only received a doll or an apple and an orange and a stocking. That's what they got for Christmas. That's all they got, a candy cane I remember hearing stories, and they were excited for Christmas because that's the only time they got to drink pop or a special occasion. So they parents splurged and bought them a Coke, you know, that kind of thing. They dealt with those kind of things, hard times. But here we are in this season in the hustle and bustle of shopping and caroling and Christmas parties and practices and pageants and traditions and dinners and everything else that you can throw on that list. You know, we often tend to leave Jesus out of the celebration until Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. You know, I mean, we're so busy. Have you all had a busy December? Raise your hand, wave at me if you've been busy this month. We all have, haven't we? Been tired, ready to go to sleep. But in all of that, it's easy for us to, we say it, Jesus is the reason for the season. We know what it's about. We believe that Jesus came. We believe He was born in a manger and was born as a man and born of a virgin. We believe that, and we know why we worship and why we express Christmas and why we celebrate Christmas. But a lot of times we don't focus on Him at this time of the year, and maybe at any time of the year. Amen. Maybe you have a tradition in your home that you wait till the last morning before Christmas to say thank you to Jesus. I don't know. You know, in my home growing up, we prayed around the tree before we opened presents and that kind of thing, and that was good. But I hope that we don't lose focus up until that time about what Christmas is about. The reason of the bringing of the gifts by the wise men was because they knew the baby was worthy of glory. Okay? Christmas is about bringing glory to Christ. The shepherds heard the good news shouted from the angels as they sang of His glory. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Herod was jealous. Not that a king was born, but because there was a man who would come to take His glory. Herod was jealous of His glory. And a few days after His birth, when Jesus was taken to the temple for His dedication, there was a couple of people there, Anna and Simeon, who would raise that baby up in their arms and praise God and shout glory to God. Why? Because they knew that this Messiah that had come was worthy of glory. Amen. He was worthy of glory. And Christmas is about a glorious King who was born in a lowly stable. Amen. It's about a glorious King who laid down all of His glory in heaven where He was worshipped by the angels. He left His glory to become the only thing that could save us from our sins. Praise God. He became sin for us. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome to think that at Christmas He became sin for us who knew no sin? Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to look at a few things here tonight. One, I want us to look at who Christ was before Christmas. Okay? And it'll help us get in the right spirit for Christmas if we consider who Christ was before He came to this earth. Number one, Christ was the Son of God. He was. And that means that He was the second person of the triune Godhead. Okay? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, right? He was the Son of God. And because He was the Son of God, He had a few attributes that I want to express to you tonight. He was eternal, or He is eternal, excuse me. He does not have a beginning or an ending. Praise the Lord. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He always has been, and He always will be. He's not bound by time like we are. You know, one man asked God, he said, God, what's a million years to you? And God said, just a second. And the man said, God, what's $1 million to you? And God said, it's just a penny. And God, and the man said, God, can I have a penny? And God said, wait a second. God's not bound by time. God is not confined by our limitations. Eternity, it's hard for us to grasp because all we know is finite things. Things that die, things that leave, things that go away, you know. That's all we know. But you know, we look at the trees. They live and they die. The flowers live and die. Seasons come and go. People live and then they go to the grave. But God stands forever. Praise the Lord. And Jesus Christ, the glorious King, will live forever. Praise the Lord. Because He's God's Son, He's eternal. He is self-sufficient. He doesn't rely on anybody. Praise the Lord for that promise. One, you know, we have to stop and realize how dependent we are on things and on people. We needed transportation to get to this building. I don't know, maybe some of you walked, but you may have ridden a bike. You still needed a bike. You needed somebody to make that bike. Maybe you drove a car. You needed somebody to make that car. You needed somebody to deliver the fuel to the gas station so you could put fuel in that car. You needed somebody to deliver the parts of the car to AutoZone so you could go in there and purchase something to fix your car so you could get to church. You see how dependent you are on people? I mean, you're hungry, so you go get some food, a truck driver, deliver that food to the grocery store, or to McDonald's, or to Chick-fil-A, or wherever you like to eat. I mean, you are so dependent on people. We have to rely on trees and on plants to put oxygen into the air so we can breathe. We are so reliant on everything around us. But God, Jesus Christ Himself, breathed His own breath into the nostrils of man and began life on this planet. He didn't have to have anything breathe into Him because He is self-sufficient. The prophet Isaiah, he said, this is how big God is. He said, the heavens are higher than the earth. So are His ways higher than your ways and His thoughts than your thoughts. You know, if you wanted to drive to the sun, it would take you, if you drove at 65 miles per hour, 24/7, it would take you over 160 years to get to the sun. I don't know why we'd want to drive there, because we'd die as soon as we hit it, you know. It'd be a bad thing. But that's a far drive. That's a long distance away. But if you think about how big our universe is, they estimate that the outer edge of the universe is 15.5 billion light years away from us. And one light year is over 5 trillion miles away. And I mean, that's unfathomable to us. But Isaiah is simply saying this, that our greatest thought, the greatest idea, the greatest thing we think of doesn't match the smallest idea and thought that God thinks toward us. Why? Because He is self-sufficient. I mean, He doesn't rely on you and me. That's who Jesus was before He came to this earth. He was omnipotent. He was all-powerful. He was omnipresent everywhere at the same time. And He was omniscient. He knew all things. And He was holy. Praise the Lord. He was holy. Yet He still He came to this earth. Jesus was the Creator. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And Colossians 1:16 says of Christ, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Jesus was a Creator. Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and the living Word of God. And I like this one. He was the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. Praise God. John 1:29, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Praise the Lord. In Revelation 13:8, it says that He and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written, even those whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So simply this, before the existence of Christ as the baby born on Christmas, He was ready. I mean, before He even was put into the womb of Mary, He was ready to give His life as a ransom for many. He knew Isaiah 53 before Isaiah penned the words and spoke them to the people of Israel. He knew that it would come to pass. He knew that every Masonic prophecy was His to fulfill before it was even spoken by the prophets. He was God. Amen. He knew that it would be said of Him that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek and sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to comfort those that mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is the Christ that we celebrate on Christmas. Hallelujah. He was the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and as such He is worthy of adoration. He is worthy of worship. I mean, He was worshipped before the foundations of the world. The angels sang His praises. When Adam and Eve were created, they sang His praises. Moses and Miriam, when they crossed the Red Sea, they sang His praises. He was glorified and magnified. And because He loved us, He left all of that aside and was born as a baby on Christmas. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I want you to notice the Christ of Christmas. Hebrews 12:2 again. looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Who for the joy, or because of the joy, or by reason of the joy he would experience by coming to this planet, he came and endured the cross. Praise God. That means he delighted to do the will of God. That means that he wasn't pushed and prodded and thrown out of heaven. God didn't say, okay, son, go down there. Jesus said, can I go there? Praise the Lord. He delighted to do the will of God. And this led him to enduring the cross. And I'm not going to read Isaiah 53, but I'm going to go down a list of the things that it says that he endured for you. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He took the stripes for our healing. He was oppressed and afflicted. He was cut off from the land of the living. He was buried among the wicked. He was numbered with the transgressors. He endured the cross. Then it says he endured the shame of the cross. There's a lot of shame that goes with being crucified on the cross. Let me look at this with you here. The shame of the cross was this. The one perfect man that ever lived. Adam was perfect when he was created, but he became imperfect when he sinned. Jesus was perfect from birth till death. The one perfect man that ever lived. He remained perfect throughout his life, endured the guilt of the crimes that he never even thought about committing. That's the Christ of Christmas. Amen. The one who was perfect became sin for us who knew no sin. That's the Christ of Christmas. He endured separation from his Father for a brief moment of time when all of our sin was placed upon him. He endured that. And you know what it feels like to be separated from God. And I know what it feels like to be separated from God. I know the instant that I make that mistake and I feel so far from God, amen, that I hate that feeling. I hate that guilt. Imagine Jesus Christ, just for the amount of people who are on this earth, he felt that shame times 7.13 billion. That's shameful. But he endured it for us. Hallelujah. But the joy that was set before him, the effect that the sacrifice would have, the rejoicing over the one lost soul being saved, was worth Christ coming for Christmas. Amen. That makes me excited. You know, I believe that's probably why John the Baptist, when Mary came to talk to Elizabeth, why he left in her womb there, because he knew there was something that struck a chord in his heart, that Jesus Christ, one day he's going to be arisen again, and he's going to rejoice over one lost soul who finds him. Praise the Lord. He would have died for one person because it gives him great joy to see one soul. Every ounce of blood he shed on the cross was worth it. And that's what it means who for the joy that was before him, he came on Christmas. And Philippians 2:6 says that because of this joy, he made himself of no reputation, or he laid down his glory in heaven to become nothing on earth. Now, as soon as he was born, there were several people who came and worshipped him. I understand that. But if you can imagine the glory that God receives in heaven to come down to this earth and people to look at you as just another normal child, that's laying down your glory. Amen. And you and I know that we like to be patted on the back. And we like people to say, good job. And we like people to applaud the things that we do. But Jesus laid all of that down. Made himself of no reputation. Or he stripped himself of his glory. This is the Christ I worship on Christmas. The one who knew all came to this earth as a baby and knew nothing. The one who had all power was now reliant upon a mother and a father. The one who created all of this wonderful planet and all the universe and all the stars was now a part of his own creation. And the one who ruled the universe was now under submission to its natural laws. He volunteered. Said he volunteered to lay down his glory. You know, it would be, and this is a very crude illustration as far as it doesn't amount close to what it was that Christ did. But if you were the president of the United States, you go out of your office, you strip your title off of the door, you go to the broom closet, put on the janitor's clothes and say, I'm no longer the president, I'm the janitor of the White House. You couldn't imagine doing that. But Jesus did that. I'm the ruler of this place, but I'm going to take my name off of that rulership for 33 and a half years. And I'm going to go down to earth and I'm going to live a life. I'm going to lay down my godly attributes. I'm going to make myself just like a man so I can save men. Amen. This is the Christ of Christmas. Hallelujah. Amen. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That means he laid down his power over death. I mean, Christ always has had power over death. He could have squashed Satan right then and there as soon as he was in the garden. But rather, he made a way. Amen. Even though he wanted men to make their own choices. He wanted men to volunteer themselves, to give themselves to God. And Jesus knew the only way he could make that possible was to make of himself a man and just come to this earth and spread himself out on the cross and submit to the death that he had power over. Amen. That's an awesome gift that was given to us on Christmas. And he did it all for you. But the greatest thing, and this is not an Easter message, this is Christmas. But after 3 days, Jesus got up. Amen. And when he got up, he picked up his glory once again. Praise God. Amen. And he proved, he said, devil, I've got power over all things. It doesn't matter. I submitted myself under the authority of this world for a while. But I'm still the King of Kings. And I am still the Lord of Lords. Praise God. And Philippians later says that at his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. I'm telling you guys tonight that this is the Christ that we worship on Christmas. He laid down his glory, came to earth and died to save you. And now he's glorified again in heaven. And the great thing is, because he laid it down for a while, he laid it down so that one day, every single one of us, when we accept him as Savior, we're going to rise up to meet him in the air. Praise God. And we're going to receive glory and be glorified as he is. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to see that come upon our... Oh, praise God. It's going to be exciting. That because he came on Christmas, he's going to glorify us one day. His glorious church. Praise God. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Sister Miranda, come to the piano. The whole point of this message, I hope, if there's a lost person in here, I hope you understand that you can give your life to Jesus because he gave his life for you. That's one point. Another point is this, for you to refocus and realize how much he left to come down here on Christmas. Praise God. Because I don't want you to nonchalantly say, thank you, Lord, for these gifts. Now let's open our presents. Thank you, Lord, for this Christmas food. Let's eat it. But I want you in your heart to feel Jesus. When you open up those presents and when you sit around that table and when you spend time with your family, I want you to feel Jesus. Because that's the reason he came on Christmas. So we could feel him, have him, amen, and belong to him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think it'd be a good idea tonight, as we close this service, that before we come to this altar, we just lift our hands and give glory to the one who deserves it. Take some time with your whole heart to glorify the one who gave it all. take some time to magnify. The song that they did sign language to, we are the reason He gave His life. We are the reason He left His glory. We are the reason He came. So we should give Him glory. We should give Him praise. We should give Him honor. We should lift Him up. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. And tonight, if you're lost, you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, it'd be a good time to find your way to the cross. It'd be an awesome time for you to come, not to the Christmas tree, but to the tree He was hung upon and bled upon and gave a great gift. And I'm going to ask that all of us would come around this altar and take some time to pray and worship and to give ourselves away to Him. And if you're lost, I want you to come with all of these and find your way to the cross. Would you come tonight? Come and spend some time in prayer. Come and spend some time in